dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers.
I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source codes, ISOs, RANs, SIPs, SIPs. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 197. I am Leroy Jenkins. Actually, I'm Stank Dog once again. Sorry to disappoint you. Couldn't be as cool as Leroy Jenkins, but I do have somebody equally cool as my co-host this week. Savant, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Oh, wait, I thought you said somebody cool. Anyway, hang on.
And today, let's see, original original air date is July 31st, 2007. 2007 represent. And let's see, we have a lot of housekeeping to do since we haven't done a show in, I don't know, 3 weeks maybe or something like that. So I guess let's jump right into it. Again, Savant joining us this week because we have a pretty cool main topic coming up. We'll get to that in a second. Briefly in the housekeeping, I want to mention that I actually, even though we didn't do another BinRev, and I guess I should be ashamed to mention this, but I did do an episode of another show, TWA Tech Radio, Today with a Techie. So if you go check that out at twatech.org, that's twatech.org, go check that out. Lots of people putting up, as a matter of fact, probably my show's rolled off the list of shows by now. They're putting out shows so quickly, so shouts to those guys over there. Let's see, what else is on my... Oh, this was really cool. I don't know if you caught this one, Savant, or yet. It's going to be in reruns for a while, I'm sure. But our good friend, a friend of BinRev Radio and a personal friend of mine, my good friend Alanka, was on Nova Science Now this past week on PBS, discussing, of course, her favorite topic, cryptos. It aired on July 4th, and it will be repeated, as I said, so keep an eye out for that. Watch your PBS stations and... look through your TiVos, find a description, look for keyword cryptos or something, and see if you can cue that up and watch it, or possibly find it in the tubes somewhere. I'm sure it's out there. There's a lot of stuff in the tubes. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, they're not as clogged as some people would make us think they would be. The tubes are flowing with good stuff.
They need to be flushed out every once in a while, but, you know, all good tubes do. By the way, I make some hella good... Kool-Aid, cherry Kool-Aid. I am like the foremost chef preparer of cherry Kool-Aid in the known world. I think I make better Kool-Aid than Mr. Kool-Aid.
Than the Kool-Aid man?
Than the Mr. Yeah, the big red dude that breaks through the wall. Hey, Kool-Aid!
He's gonna bust through the wall and Stain just swings and knocks him out of the right hook. Fuck you, I'm the Kool-Aid man.
I will fuck the Kool-Aid man up. I got some hella good Kool-Aid on the show tonight. And actually, you got some iced tea. We just swapped places this time, huh?
I know. What's up with that? But I don't have sweet tea. I have unsweetened pure leaf iced tea.
Oh, you evil, evil man.
No,
you're out there.
Lipton even. It's not really good.
You're out on the West Coast, so I can understand you. Bunch of flakes and fruits and nuts out there.
But it's interesting. If you look at the nutrition facts, and it has zero across the board.
I was going to say
calories, fat, sodium, flavor, protein.
You look at the list of good stuff in there and nutrients and whatever, and it's just a picture of the empty set.
Yeah, basically.
It's just a big zero with the not symbol sign through it.
16 ounces of nothing.
Or it's got the word nutrition with the not sign around it, like no smoking,
yeah,
no
basically.
Nutrition. So yes, anyway, Nova Science Now, which is a very, very cool show. I've been listening to the podcast that for years. Actually, I've come back because somebody asked about that in one of our emails this week. But Ilanka was on this very cool episode, her as well as some of the other people that have been working on cryptos. They did a great job of covering it for people who've never seen it before. They had some video, so that was really cool. And Ilanka did, they did some interviews with her, and she gave some stuff. She also gave a challenge at the end of the show that, I, as far as I know, hasn't been cracked yet. I went out and checked the tubes, checked the PBS message boards and whatnot, and I did not see that anyone had answered it yet. So, shouts to Ilanka. Cool stuff. Hooray. I have to do hooray, Ilanka. Like, is they have hooray beer? Do they have hooray beer out there on the West Coast?
Oh, red stripe beer. Yeah, man. We're not in a fucking cave.
You might as well be.
Oh,
man. You West Coasters. Hooray beer.
Red it's not stripe. That great, though.
No, I've never actually tried it. Well,
yeah, there's a reason they spend all their money on commercials. You ever notice that the amount of money that a beer company spends on the commercials is inverse to how good their beer actually tastes?
Well, if that's true, then Budweiser would be the bottom of the barrel because they spend bajillions of money on advertising.
I would have to agree with that.
Oh, wow. I thought
I'm kind of a beer snob.
Oh, I thought Milwaukee's Best was kind of like the bottom of the barrel beer.
Well, I mean, even Pabst Blue Ribbon, which is arguably considerably cheaper, is a lot better. I mean, it tastes slightly better than Bud, but man, will it mess you up.
Yeah, dog. All right, we got to back off
Brown
the beer.
Special.
We don't want to cross we don't want to cross content paths with that other podcast about beer and technology.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, jab deep with that one. Let's see what else in the old housekeeping section this week. Oh, t-shirts. We have new t-shirts finally. So I held off even though I've been working on it and I put the order in. I waited until I actually had them in my hands before I announced it. And I know we don't have video, but maybe here on the microphone there's the shirt tapping against the microphone. I have the shirts in my hand. They look very cool, I think. We did them in a dark charcoal gray and an orange shirt, which matched the designs. I posted them in the forums, forums.binrev.com, if you want to check them out. Kind of going away from the whole black shirt thing. It's getting kind of old, so thought we'd change it up. And hopefully we'll be coming out with some new designs in the future, so keep an eye out on the forums. If these do well and people enjoy these, we'll start mixing in some other colors, some other styles, some other slogans and things like that. And sizes. I expanded the sizes this time. The first time we did shirts, we only did XL because it was easier and cheaper to do it that way. This time I was able to get some mediums and larges and actually got a couple smalls out there for the Strom Carlsons out there. Who are either, for those people out there who are either small or like to wear their shirts really, really tight for whatever reason. Not that there's anything wrong with that. So we do have, I've only got like, I think, three or four of each design in small, so we'll see how quickly those go, and if we need more, we can do them in the next batch. Unfortunately, I couldn't get anything larger than XL, because anything larger than XL, they start jacking the price up. It's $1 extra for the 2XL. It's $2 extra for the 3XL, and so on and so forth. So we weren't able to do any of those in this batch, but we will try to do a few in the next one. So if you are big folk, I can still squeeze into an XL right now. But if you can't, we will try to accommodate you in the next batch of shirts. So hopefully in a couple months when these sell out, if these sell out, we will get some more done.
You know, I gotta say, good kudos to you on picking colors that were not black t-shirts. Just yesterday, my old lady is looking through, we live together now, and she's looking at my half of the closet, and it's like 90% black t-shirts.
Yeah, right.
And she was, apparently women, some of the ones that don't keep a ton of clothes on hand all the time is because they're constantly cycling through their shit. But I will never throw away a t-shirt that I like that even has like the most remote sentimental value to me. And she sees is just a pile like 8 feet deep of black shirts.
Yeah.
So this will help me, you know, at least convince her that I should keep them.
Well, and I went over to the BR813 Tampa BinRev meeting this past weekend. And while I was over there, Spinsane made a comment to me because I was wearing the orange shirt, new orange BinRev shirt when I went over there, and I was also wearing my orange baseball cap to go with it. So I was coordinated, as he pointed out.
Nice.
So, you know, got to keep everything coordinated, got to keep the style working, you know. We got a little style at BinRev, believe it or not.
Now that the designs are already at the printers, have you thought about maybe making some hoodies or some hats or expanding a little bit on that?
Actually, the first batch of these I had done, I didn't want to push my luck too far. I just wanted to get these things done and out, and because I needed them done, or I wanted them done, I should say, before DEF CON, so I could take some out for everybody. I didn't want to push my luck too much. I just wanted to get them done and in my hands. Plus, financially, you know, I didn't have too much flexibility. So, if these do well, the next batch will have a lot more flexibility, like I said, on sizes, designs, styles, and everything. And now I have kind of a rapport with them where they will... They have a lot of things that they can do, as it turns out. I talked to them after I got them, told them I was happy with the shirts. Might tweak a couple little things on the next one, but I'm happy with them. And they can do printing of all kinds of stuff, whether it's hoodies, caps, not even just clothing stuff. They can do badges and bumper stickers and just about anything you could imagine. So, you know, we have a lot of opportunities for, I guess, merchandising, for lack of a better word, which feels weird to say. But, yeah, we have a lot of stuff that we can do. And now that we have a relationship with them, kind of an open-door account, you know, we can just get what we want, have it all built, and you know, they'll be flexible with me about all that stuff. And once you've gotten a shirt done, for anybody who doesn't know, when you get shirts done, depending on how many colors you need, and these shirts ended up being, I think, three colors on each side, or three colors on one side and two on the other, they charge you per screen for each screen print, for each screen that they need to do an ink color through and the design on. They charge you for each one of those screens up front. That's where the bulk of the cost comes in. So, you know, a lot of the money you have to shell out up front to get these screens. Now, if I go back and want them to do another batch, and now every place is a little bit different, but with this place, they'll keep the screens on file for 6 months. So if I want to order again within the next 6 months, they will already have them done, still saved on file, and I will not have to pay for the screens again. So that will save some money on future ones and make it faster and easier for us to roll out some more shirts, especially the front of the shirts. All have a uniform design to them. It's the same style on the front chest of the shirt over the heart. It's just different colors depending on what matches the shirt color itself. So that screen can be reused as well. So, yeah, we've got a lot of possibilities we can do in the future with this. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, you know, I really just don't know what to expect in people's demand. I got a little over 100 of each shirt design made, and let's see how they do. You know, we've moved to a new server, and we've been kind of, you know, we've never put up donation links or anything like that. We've never gotten on here and done an off-the-hook begathon or any of that stuff, WBAI, whatever. Boy, I'm just pissing everybody off today. So,
prisoners.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know what? We're ending Season 4 here soon, so we might as well get out our shots while we can here, fire them off while we got them.
I'm going to say it. Fuck Dig.
Oh, no, you didn't. You're going to have all the little Dig fanboys now emailing us in. And
I know, the army of Kevin Rose.
Yeah, you know, well...
AKR.
Yeah. Oh, why? You're pulling me into this. Damn it, I'm fighting. I'm resisting. Listen, you know what? Here, listen. I can't hate on Kevin for making a lot of money off of that. I mean... I'm not going to hate on him for that. It's just my original thing about not giving credit and stuff like that. And probably even hold suit to Dig. He has people that are doing the programming and the real work behind it. Those are the people I give props to. The coding team behind Dig, you get mad props from me. I'll give you that. Now, to the users on Dig, you all suck the big bone right down to the very last one of you. How's that for pissing off an entire interweb community?
There's no mailing address associated with BinRev Radio, is there?
Well, I guess there is on the Who Is. Yeah, I can get all kinds of hate mail and anthrax and other stuff in the mail, I guess. Oh, but God damn, I better not joke about this stuff. What the hell? People hate me. I'm going to get all kinds of dead animals in the mail. Them's good.
You know what? It would be the worst thing ever if they were to send money and pie. I really hope that none of our angry listeners send money and pie.
Oh, man.
That would be the worst thing ever.
Or Kool-Aid.
Yeah. No package of Kool-Aid. Well, actually, Kool-Aid might be pretty scary, actually. Like, what the fuck is this? Is this cherry anthrax?
I didn't know anthrax came in flavors.
It does now.
Cherry anthrax. Wow.
Oh, no!
I think you may have just coined a t-shirt phrase on that one. I'm not sure. Binrev.com, home of cherry anthrax. Oh, man.
So why did none of the Binrev guys show up at DEF CON? Oh, it couldn't get on an airplane.
Or we got on the airplane, but we didn't get off alive because we were all anthraxed to death. Okay, let's see. We haven't even gotten out of the housekeeping section yet. Let's see. Housekeeping. What else do we have? DEF CON meetup. We are going to be having a little Binrev get-together for everybody who wants to go grab a bite to eat, hang out, chit-chat. We'll be meeting in front of the registration desk in the Riviera. We're going to be meeting starting at 3:30. We'll wait around for about 15 minutes. We'll start walking up towards that mall, fashion store mall. I don't know what that's called. The mall that's right up on
Treasure
the strip.
Island, isn't it?
I think it's right across from the Wynn. I don't know how close it is to Treasure Island. I know it's straight across from the Wynn, though, on the opposite side of the street of the Wynn.
Okay.
But we'll walk. That's why you're going to meet us there at the registration desk at 3:30. I'll be wearing my Binrev shirts and whatnot. So we'll meet there. We'll walk over there at about 3:45 so we can sit there and eat. We'll probably be coming back around 5:30 to 5:45 because some people said there were some 6 o'clock talks that they would like to attend. So we won't stay over there too long. We'll be there for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And get back for the 6 o'clock talks, and I will have the T-shirts there. I will bring T-shirts with me. I might have a few as I'm walking around before that, but they're going to probably go pretty quickly. So I will make it a point to bring a large batch of those to the get-together. So if you want one and you haven't seen me by then we will have them there. And I guess that's it. I'll have some presentations with me. Don't know how it goes. It's pretty loud over there. It's a typical mall, so it's always hard to give presentations. But I always have a couple with me. Always have some on the laptop, so I will bring them. And if anyone's interested and wants to see some, actually the one I gave at the BR813 went over really well the other day, especially with a live internet connection at Panera Bread. I was able to actually do a proof of concept, show the slides. Here's how it works. Here's what I did. And now you guys check and make sure, and it works, and it did, so that was kind of cool. So maybe we can do something like that. And I think that's about it for housekeeping. But you know what? Before we move on to email, Savant, if I may put you on the spot here, something that came up recently that you may know more, I'm sure you know more about than me. I think actually I asked you about it a couple weeks ago. We were talking about this new, is it Truth in Caller ID Act? I mean, what's the official name of this thing?
They're calling it the unofficial name is Truth in Caller ID Act, but there's actually two bills. I'm not sure which one actually is going to get passed. There's S-704, introduced February 28th. Thanks, Eyeball, for pointing the link out on that one. And there's another one called H.R. 251 of the House of Representatives. The one of 251 has language that actually mentions caller ID spoofing being illegal with intent for fraudulent purposes, whereas S-704 is really fucking vague, and they say basically that anyone who sends misleading or inaccurate caller ID information will be, subject to heinous crimes and butt rapings and whatever else. I think that both of these stand a good chance to be contested. What bugs me about S-704 is that misleading or inaccurate caller ID. Well, what about Skype, you know? Are there any... is Skype going to completely change how they do their call Skype out service? I mean,
well,
I suppose it would be easy for them to just block caller ID completely to be compliant. But right now it sends, what is it, 0001234566?
I think that is right, yeah.
Or maybe there's an extra zero in there.
Four zeros, yeah.
And now, I don't know. One thing I'm not certain of is the status on which, if either or both laws got passed or whatnot. But the other one, the House of Reps 251, That one in and of itself doesn't really bother me that much because it's a line about fraud. So if I'm calling up, you know, if I call you Stank Dog and I have Kevin Rose's phone number, you know, on the caller ID as a prank.
I am so answering that.
I mean, I guess so. If you got your hopes up and you answered the phone thinking it was Kevin, but...
Yeah, well, my problem with that one more is, like, there are... caller ID is a tool, right? It's actually a useful...
Kevin Rose is a tool.
What a coincidence. Oh, my gosh. We are so going to get hate mail. like I care.
You think he listens? There's no way.
The fanboys will listen and report back to him. Or post
the army of Kevin Rose, A-Core.
Yeah, they will. I mean, honestly, they will. I'm just teasing, man.
You can email me personally, savant@feartubes.com, if you want to talk some shit back.
Who cares? They can email us, whatever. Here's the thing, though. There's legitimate purposes for using spoofed caller ID. I mean, there are a lot of great, useful applications of this. Bill collectors. I mean, I'm sorry, I know a lot of people don't like them, but if you don't pay your bills, the bill collector comes after you. They have to use whatever tools they can to try to get in touch with you and collect your bills. I mean, nobody likes them. We all hate them, you know, all that good stuff. But you know what? It's not right to take away a tool that they use to do their job. Private investigators the same way. You know, they can't call from their number or from a number that people are that's recognized or easily known or that gets out there in the street. People know, oh, yeah, the agent's number is this. If you ever see it, don't answer. So, you know, I see it as a tool to them if they do their research and their homework properly, if they're a good PI. They can spoof your mother's phone number to you just to make you answer it. Now, I think, and I am not a lawyer, I'm talking out my ass here, but I would think that that should be safe. I don't know if it is under the wording of these things, but it should be safe until or if the moment you say, hi, this is your mom, then you're impersonating someone, you're committing fraud, you're saying, hi, I am Kevin Rose. That's when you would be crossing the line. But just sending the number itself doesn't really seem...
There's a couple stipulations in the language that actually kind of addresses those. Now, it is not illegal in any way, shape, or form to block your caller ID from being sent completely. So if it's withheld or private or unknown, those circumstances are okay. So I believe that, you know, Skip Tracers or whomever can still do this under those stipulations. And it also specifically grants law enforcement officials the right to spoof caller ID. I don't know if Skip Tracers or bail enforcement agents are, you know, technically law enforcement agents. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But at least those stipulations are made. But, I mean, to commit crime or, like, misleading or fraud, isn't fraud already illegal?
Well, yeah, I guess it is. But I guess it's one of those things that's vague or hard to define what fraud is, I guess. And even intent to defraud, I mean, does there have to be financial loss involved for the legal... I don't know what the legal definition of fraud is.
Right. Well, you know? But I mean, like, if someone calls up the police department and, you know, puts in a phony 911 call and they send SWAT team out to their house, is that not already illegal?
Well, yeah.
I mean, maybe it's not, but I would think it is.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I mean... But I'm not sure what law it's breaking. If it's a fraud law or a misuse of a government... something. I just don't know what law would be broken with that. I don't know.
Oh, yes. Speaking of 911 calls and the misappropriation of law enforcement...
how's that for a segue?
I got a visit from the San Diego Police Department on Saturday. I wasn't home at the time, but
luckily
they came over and my landlord answered. Apparently, someone from my house had been calling 911, and this is an unlisted number. I mean, nobody has it. I think you're the first person I've given it to, and that was yesterday after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So I found out what happened. I've recently been helping the Beef test his IWAR program out of the CSV version, and, you know, Beef did a great job. I found a little tiny bug, you know, not a big deal. He has a blacklist that does not allow you to dial certain numbers like the White House or 411 or incidentally 911.
Right.
So all's cool and good there. If you try to dial, it just won't work. Incidentally, he's also got an option that will allow you to save your scan progress and reload it later. And on the command line, for ease of use, you can specify the area code, the exchange, and then the range of extensions that you'd like to scan. So I was doing this. I was scanning, you know, 619XXX, 9100 to 9150, I believe. And anyway, I canceled it, and I load it back up, but I forgot to specify the 619 and then the area code. So it just loaded only the extensions, 9100 through 9150, and as soon as it hit 9110... It called 911, and then
9111.
And it called back at 9111, and before I could, you know, think in terms of process, it had already called 911 like three times, but I didn't really think anything of it because I couldn't hear the voice through the modem speaker. So I was like, whatever, all right, let's go to Comic-Con.
Wow.
And we packed up ship and left. And as I was pulling out, I saw the squad car drive by and didn't really think anything of it until my landlord called me freaking out, wanting to know if, you know, my girl was with me or if she'd been kidnapped or fell down the stairs or something.
Mm. Wow.
So that's a little excitement. Yeah, there's a little bug in the software that you might want to look into. But other than that, love the program. Beef, good job.
Did you say no? Sorry, that was just my ward dialing gone bad.
Fuck no. I said, oh man, it must have been my cat. Sorry about that.
My cat? What the fuck kind of cat do you have? If your cat can dial 911, I'll buy him right now.
You know what's worse is that my only phone in the house is a rotary. So that cat would have had to be like,
wow,
like really dial 911.
Damn. I don't know what you've been training that cat to do. Oh, man.
Well, actually, what's interesting, side note, is if you look up polydactyl cats, the cats that have extra digits on their hands, and I swear to God, our cat has thumbs.
Awesome.
I'm
that is so cool.
I'm not even joking. It's neat.
Do they have claws on them? Or are they like...
Oh, yeah.
All right, so they're fully functional thumbs. They're not like little things just hanging there dead.
No. I mean, it looks like he can hold a pencil and write a ransom note if he needed to.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I want a cat with six thumbs or six with an extra thumb.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure that you can buy them online. Polydactyl. I think I'm saying that right.
It sounds like a fucking dinosaur cat. That was a polydactyl cat.
Oh,
it hurt where? Where, Savant? Where did it hurt? Our audience wants to know, where did it hurt?
I need a sip of this unsweetened crap.
Well, while you take a sip of that, I'm going to send us into the email bag.
Benred.com.
And let's do some email this week. We have quite a bit of email. I'm going to go into my speed reading mode here to try to get through it quickly so we can get to our main topic. So, bear with me here. I am going to see how quickly we can get through this. Email number one comes from Greg, ? Greg says, how do I talk to you when you're live on the radio? Greg, we are not live on the radio. You don't talk to us live on the radio. Do not. Also, Greg, don't send emails and then turn on your autoresponder, please. Please. I don't know why people have an autoresponder on while they're sending you an email. And when you reply to them and explain, we're not live, and you get a bounce email back that says, sorry, but I'm away. Please leave your message has been queued and will be responded to in due time.
He's not live either.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I should have said. How do I talk to you live on the email tubes? Anyway, so note, we are not live. Ratchet and Strom did some live episodes, I think, a couple times, didn't they? And those were interesting. Those were fun. But, that was a very short-lived thing and kind of tough to do, made it tough to record, et cetera, et cetera. So we don't do that. Haven't done that in a long time. So thanks for... wanting to chime in on something live, but it doesn't happen that way. Pre-recorded. Okay, email number two comes from Ryan. See, I'm doing my David Letterman now. Ryan says, this is a good one. Ryan says, quote, your mic is on. I clicked on the radio button and I'm getting a TV in the background and what sounds like somebody eating dinner. Just letting you know in case you didn't. So, yeah, I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Watching TV and eating dinner. Okay, like, this is one of those emails where you're like, you know it's not possible, but you still check anyway because it's so weird. Like, I record this show on a whole separate computer machine on the other side of the hat cave here that's dedicated to recording the show and doing video editing. That's all this box does. So it's not the one that's on my regular computer machine over there that I surf the interweb with and stuff like that, which also has a microphone on it, but I never use that. This one I only turn on while I'm recording the show and turn it off when I'm done, again, the show being pre-recorded. So there's no way I could be streaming live or have left it streaming live while I'm eating dinner or anything. But, yeah, I still felt the need for some reason to go check to see if, you know, somehow, maybe, the thing kicked in or I don't know. And, of course, I was not, but I did check the stream out, and I clicked on the stream to listen to it myself, and sure enough, I could hear, and this was many hours, I got an email later on when I got home late that night, so who knows how long it had been on, but I did hear something streaming live. So I'm not sure what it was or who it was or anything like that, but somebody was streaming live. I heard kind of a static sound in the background. I guess they were eating dinner and watching TV and fell asleep. It would have been cool if I would have heard somebody snoring. That would have been kind of funny. But, yeah, sure enough, someone, and I'm guessing one of our shows that records live or that streams, I should say, that streams a live show, I'm looking over at you, Linux Link Tech Show, I'm not pointing fingers, but I'm looking in that direction, forgot to turn off their microphone after they were done streaming, which I think is hilarious. I think that would have been so awesome if they would have said anything funny or juicy or embarrassing or something like that while it was going on, like, they're eating dinner and watching Prawn in the background. That would have been awesome.
Oh, that would have been the greatest thing in the background, the sound of
Oh, my gosh, what a great outtake that would have been. That would have been so awesome. So, I know that it was doing that for about 24 hours or so before we finally kicked the stream off. We left it going to try to figure out who it was. Never got around to it. We finally just kicked it and restarted the fallback so that the shows would kick in and we could keep going again. But if, by any chance, anybody out there heard anything juicy or, even better yet, recorded it, I know some people record the streams overnight. If you got any of that recorded, send it on in and let's see what we got, or skim through it for us. Even better yet, find the good parts and send them in, and we'll air them somehow, somewhere. All right, let's see. Next email comes from Coding Monkey. Coding Monkey, our good friend across the pond there. Coding Monkey says, "Hi, Stank and Savant. Greetings from England." Oh, do I have to do my English voice, my Austin Powers?
No. I wouldn't.
Yeah, okay, I'm not going to try.
It's a long email.
Good point. I'm going to do my fast-forward voice. Okay. Just finished listening to your episode on CCTV, that's closed-circuit television, and it reminded me of a funny incident at work some 8 years ago, thought you might be interested. Way back in 99, he says, which, Coding Monkey, you should know better, that is a non-Y2K-compliant date. But I'm going to go with it. Way back in apostrophe 99, I worked for a certain large hardware company. Stuff was going missing at work. Small things at first, and people put it down to the stationary elves. Elfs, E-L-F-S. But then we lost a dev box, which cost something in the region of £30,000, which is probably around $40,000 US, I would think. we brought security in and demanded they call the police. They were strangely reluctant to do this and kept insisting that it was a waste of time. CCTV didn't extend to this part of building. So I got this idea of setting up a Logitech Quick Cam, which came with some pretty nifty security software. Back then, webcams looked a bit like mobile phones from the 80s, do compared with today's slimline models, but it did the job and was motion activated, and best of all, automatically adjusted to different light conditions, and the video was surprisingly small in disk-based terms. Woo, that was a long sentence. Holy crap. Oh, man. Got lightheaded on that. To my surprise, my boss took me up on the offer, and I was given some hours and a bit of cash to knock up a secret CCTV system, and only me and my boss knew about this. My desk faced a large pile of boxes at the time, so I took the large cardboard box and used a... What the hell? What is that? B-I-R-O?
Biro?
A biro? A biro? What the hell? To punch a hole through?
I think it's a rubber penis.
Biro. Oh, of course. So I took a large cardboard box and used a rubber penis to punch a hole through. I filled the box with smaller boxes as a rest. for the camera to line it up with the hole, and then I looped the USB cable for the cam through the bottom of the box and into my own PC, and pointed the rubber penis hole at my open desk locker, which I then filled with expensive and tempting hardware, like a DVD player. It was probably the cheapest, most hacked-together security system ever, but it worked. You know what? As long as it works, that's the whole point of hacking. Sure enough, along with videos of security borrowing the DVD player to watch at night instead of monitoring the cameras, we also caught our man. The same security guard who told us it wasn't worth going to the police turned up at my desk in the dark wearing old clothes and borrowed an expensive PC video card. Later, we saw he returned it, wiping it down with his sleeve to remove the prints. To my disgust, the law weren't informed because the site manager thought this might count as entrapment, despite the fact that the building had warning CCTV and operation posted on every wall. But this Cowboy Security Company, Inc., didn't get their contract renewed again that year. Guess the moral of the story is just because you've got cameras doesn't mean your site is secure, and I personally would never trust the watchers. Thank you, Coding Monkey, and yes, somebody has to watch the watchers. That's one of the phrases that I think cannot be repeated. You know, you have to trust the watchers, and obviously in your case, the watcher was the one who was committing the crime and gaffling your equipment. So, who watches the watchers? Who watches the watchmen? Anything to add on that one? Yeah. Let me get a sip of my Kool-Aid here, if you got anything to add on that little story.
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's a badass setup, but what I don't get is he wiped it down and returned it?
He wiped his fingerprints off. Yeah, that's weird.
That is kind of strange. I mean, it sounds like, I don't know, did you guys get all the other stuff back? Or what about that death box? Anyway, yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm a little saddened that he returned it after the end. It would have been really sweet to get a righteous bust on these guys with your, you know, ghetto closed circuit televisions.
Also, what about, you know, their concern, and I think it's a valid one because I don't know the legalities, but is it entrapment? I don't think that's entrapment. I mean, setting up cameras to capture them is not entrapment in and of itself. And do they even have entrapment in England? I don't even know. But anyway, that doesn't constitute entrapment the way I understand it. I mean,
no, not by at least American standards.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it would be a stretch if you say you placed it, the item to be stolen, out on the desk, tempting him to pick it up, like putting it out in obvious to lure him in, but that's not the case, it doesn't sound like. You place the
Maybe
camera
you put
where
it on his desk, on the security guard's desk.
Yeah.
That might be entrapment.
Might be. You know?
Anyway.
I don't know. That's kind of that's an interesting one there. Especially that you've got it labeled, though, that it's all being recorded. So I think that covers you quite a bit.
Right, at least by any reasonable standards. But, I mean, one thing that it could be considered is you might want to not tip your hand at that point if all he took was a video card that he gave back. Maybe you want to keep your sly James Bond setup secret a little longer to see if it takes bigger bait.
Yeah, until he takes another 30,000-pound server, then you nail him.
Right, then you just nail him to the wall.
Right.
Anyway, that's a slick setup, Cody Monkey. Good work.
Good stuff. Let's see, next email comes from Vic. Vic says, greets, I have some Java quickies. Following up, of course, on episode 195, where Not Theory and I discussed Java some more. Vic says, one, Sun does have a nice FOSS IDE, NetBeans. It is quite good and very comparable to Eclipse. I'm surprised that no one mentioned it. I believe you mentioned Forte in one of the shows. NetBeans is a descendant of Forte. I think... I certainly wouldn't have no confidence in saying this, but I thought Not Theory mentioned that on one of the episodes, but I could be wrong. Two, if you think Java is slow and not suitable for games, check out Jake2. I guess I probably should have tiny URL'd this, but you know what? You guys can Google Jake2, J-A-K-E-2, and probably find it. It's a Java port of the Quake 2 engine. Check out the benchmarks page. I think you'll be impressed. Thank you, Vic, for the email. Now, you know, I appreciate the email, and I'm not even going to say this as devil's advocate, because I do feel like this. I don't think that's really a good defense, your second thing there about Java being suitable for games. You're giving me one example, Quake 2. and I'm not a gamer, Savant. I don't know if you know, but Quake 2 is not even a new game. That's old, right?
It's pretty old, man.
Yeah, that's an older game, I thought. I'm not big into that, but I thought that was an older game. So using an old game that's many years old, outdated, as an example for Java is not exactly the most impressive thing. And B, that's it? That's only one? That's the only one example that I've seen? I mean, you're not seeing stuff like, I don't know, World of Warcraft? Is that still the new hotness? I don't know.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, new games and stuff like that. I mean, why aren't those being ported and run over on Java? There's certainly a reason from it. I mean, if you want to defend and say that it's good for using in game, can run games well, I guess is what I'm trying to say, then, you know, it needs to be running modern games, up to date, even a generation behind, not three or four generations behind. So,
let me defend him as devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. If you look at the games for your phones nowadays that are written in Java, mm-hmm. I gotta say that anything close to Quake 2 is just beat Java, you know, Sudoku for J2ME or something. So, I mean, yeah. Maybe that's where they should take the cell phones.
Well, and they do. Java's definitely good for, like, puzzle games and card games and those little, you know, it does graphics and stuff like that, but as far as the number crunching and the geometry that's involved in 3D games and stuff like that and on-the-fly rendering, I don't know. I'm not saying it's bad, but I have never seen it before. I mean, game companies spend millions of dollars these days developing games. Just tremendous amount of research and looking into this kind of stuff. Believe me, they don't want to have to port a game to how many different consoles that are out there now, and a PC, and the Mac, and yada yada, all these different things. They don't want to do that. If there was one solution, the whole Java write once, run anywhere thing that we argued about, game companies would be all over that like stink on shit. If they could get their damn game written once and run everywhere, they would be all over Java. There's obviously a reason they don't do that. The gaming companies have not seen the power and support that they need, and that's why they're not developing for it. So the actions of the big gaming companies says a lot. Unless there's some big conspiracy theory there that I don't know about, and I don't know about it. I'm not into that side of the scene, I guess.
I don't know anything, and if I did, they wouldn't let me talk about it.
Ah, so you're part of the problem there, aren't you?
I know what you're talking about.
We'll move on before the overlords come down and
Hail Java.
Speaking of Hail Java, our next email comes from Lord Collis. Hail Lord Collis. Lord, I guess I'm pronouncing that. Kate Collis? Yeah, it's got to be. Hola, Senor Dog. What's hack-a-lackin'? I am just listening to 196, I think it is. Always have loved your show. In fact, I think you're the reason I no longer listen to Off the Hook. And that's not a bad thing. Nothing against 2600, but yeah. At any rate, I have two questions. Fuck that, three, lol. This email is getting rough. The rougher the further it goes in. Okay. One, can I be unbanned? No. I forget what the fuck I got banned from the forums, but probably spelling based on this email from the forums. But I can sign in, but I can't /post. Which really doesn't bother me much, cause I'm a lurker, but I think I was trying to demonstrate a ScriptKitty exploit and what happens when you try one that has been patched to a friend of mine. Lol. At any rate, I want to be unbanned, so what Gibson shall I hack? I mean, if you want, /shrug. Two, can I be an agent of the revolution? No. Like I said, I'm a lurker, lol, but I know I can contribute. I know I can contribute, I just refuse to make certain things public. Three, you guys seem like you, W2F you call it, would like to do more episodes. Can I do one? No.
Oh.
Warning, it'd be on a very black hat topic, organized cybercrime for fun and profit, educational purposes only, yada yada, lol. This is a one lolling motherfucker right here, boy. He did it all.
All I have to say is fear, period. Anyway, period.
He did it all for the lols. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not going to encourage people to get poped by the feds. Wait a minute.
I'm just picturing the Pope with his cane and his pontiff and just fucking poking people.
We need a graphic. We need somebody to Photoshop a graphic with a picture of the Pope and an FBI badge. Oh shit, Pope. I guess he meant popped or poked.
Yeah.
He could have meant poked. Either way, I don't know what. Whatever. I don't want either one of them. I don't want to get popped or poked. Or poke then pop. Encourage people to get poked by the feds, but I know a lot of three-letter agencies are looking for people who know their stuff, so... this guy's got like a... He must have a copyright on ... as well. It can lead to a good job opportunity for those interested. So, yeah, I shouldn't really send this to Radio at BenRev, I guess. I gooas, but I wanted to do a show, La Mafio... Since you guys are fucking lazy. Just kidding. So I'll trust the android who checks the email to forward this to the correct decision-making dictators. Quatla!
Quatla!
That was as good as I could do in Klingon. I actually had to look that up because I'm like, what the fuck is Quatla? It was too random to not be random, to be random.
Right, right.
So I had to look it up. And apparently Quatla is the Klingon word for success. So, thank you for that. You know, and we're joking with you a little bit here, but yeah, this is a, it kind of gives me an opportunity to get this out there because I get asked this question a lot from email, private message, the occasional bitching PM on IRC, why was I banned? Well, okay, seriously. As far as Ban a Nation, dude, I don't know what happened. First of all, I'm assuming you mean the forums, not IRC or some other stuff. But the moderating team handles all that, and I'm just one small part of that. I honestly don't remember, don't know who you are, why you were banned. I don't know the story at all. If you're perma-banned, though, you know, we have temp ban and then we have perma-ban. If you do something really bad, and you really have to go, you really have to screw up pretty bad to get perma-ban. People that go out blazing and posting a bunch of crap in the forum, spamming us to death. Dropping docs on whatever, posting something that's just completely illegal and obviously illegal, attempting to get people in trouble, repeated abusing of people on the forums of our other members we're not going to allow. So you really have to do something pretty bad to get permabanned. I don't know if you did any of those. But if you did, then no, you're not going to get unbanned. Period. End of story. And people, I just banned a couple people this past week, actually yesterday, day before yesterday, I don't know, the last couple days I had to ban some returning visitors from long, long ago that still aren't welcome back in anything that I do, but I digress. Now, if it was a temp ban, then yes, we'll usually allow you to come back. You're going to have to take some time to cool off. I think what we've established is that you're going to be off for 6 months if you get temp banned. After 6 months, we'll take one of those strikes away from you. We have a 3-strikes rule. We'll take one of the warrants away, and you'll come back with 2 warrants. So you're still on the borderline. You still better mind your P's and Q's. But, yes, we will allow people back into the forums. So that's really pretty much all there is to it. Like I said, you have to do something pretty bad to get permabanned. And, I mean, there's probably less than 10 to 20 people in all of time that we permabanned from the forums. I mean, if you looked at the banned list, you'll probably see quite a few. But most of those are spammers, spam bots and stuff like that we put into the banned group. But, yeah, so, now, I probably shouldn't say this, and Seal, our forums admin, and our monitoring team will probably yell at me about this, but your best bet, if you want to get back in there, is to probably create a new account. But, that is against the rules as well. Let me just say that up front. We do not allow multiple accounts. If you're coming back to make another account just to avoid banination, we're going to find it, and you're going to get banned again. So if you think you're going to come back as something 2.0 or 3.0 or whatever, 4.0, then no, you're still not welcome back. You're permabanned, whatever. However, we don't have the time to, and you know, just be realistic, we don't have the time to go through and check every new member that registers. So if you register in such a way that there's no connection to your old account, don't come from the same IP address, don't type the same way you did in the old one, don't do the same, make the same mistakes that you did before, then, you know, quite honestly, you'll probably fly under the radar, and you won't be seen. But, you know, you get banned one day, and you register the very next day, we're probably going to put two and two together and figure it out. Especially, you know, we've busted people, and this is funny, we've busted people for they came back and they thought they were slick, different name, different email account, different IP coming through proxies, coming through Tor, and come to find out that they were using a signature that was stored on the same server as their old account. You know, you think we're not going to notice that you're serving off of your same old signature file from your old account. I mean, that's kind of boneheaded. You're not a good hacksaw, you know, if you're going to miss little things like that. So, yeah, just if you come back and you behave yourself, then you usually will squeak by. If you get found out or if you get caught, don't cry or act surprised when you do get the second account banned, because it is against the rules. But if you come back and behave, then you usually will, again, kind of fly under the radar. Second question, though, to be an agent, yeah, you don't ask. It's one of those things where, what is it, don't call us, we'll call you?
There you go.
Type thing. Agents are, you know, kind of the best and brightest from BenRev, I like to think, and these are the people that are active in the forums, active in IRC projects and stuff like that, and we invite people to be agents of the revolution. These are people that we have respect for, that we appreciate, and we want to kind of show them that we appreciate them and let them know, so they get access to a special agents-only forum where they discuss things that are a little bit more, private, a little bit more underground, stuff that we don't want publicly abused or seen yet, discuss things privately, different projects, things like that, and we try to give the agents of the revolution, and they give us as well sneak peeks at other things that are coming up, projects that they're working on, sharing information internally with other people that we trust, since we all have a kind of a bond. We've all kind of proven ourselves. And we give, you know, the t-shirts that I mentioned earlier, we actually put those in the agents forum early, so they had a good chance to preview those and give us some feedback and comments, as well as
the Natus.
Yeah, exactly. that's where all the Natus prawn is. And we're going to give them, you know, the agents are going to get first shot at purchasing the shirts, too. So we will put them up for the agents only before we release them everywhere else. What else? Let's see. And, it's basically something that you earn. You don't ask for. It's just you come in, you contribute to the forums. We will see it. We do see everything that goes on in the forums. We may not be able to remember and single out each individual event, but it's just human nature. If we see somebody doing positive things and helping out and contributing it, we do see that. We do see who our good, regular contributors are, and we do appreciate it, and we do try to let them know. So come to the community, contribute over time, earn that trust, and we're always adding people to that. I just added a few more people to the agents group in the last, last weekend. So it's always moving, it's always growing, we're always adding people in there, so if you want to be an agent of the revolution, just stick around, contribute, and you will be noticed. And the last thing here on, in terms of more episodes of the show, I'm going to go through this quickly as time's starting to run low here, but we had some timing issues with some of the hosts, and the bottom line is we just had to accept the fact that we can't do it weekly anymore, can't do the show weekly right now, but we are already looking ahead, making plans to the future to resolve that situation, so thank you for the offer for that, but I know people are used to us doing the show every single week, and people look forward to the show every week. I look forward to doing the show every week, but reality, unfortunately, dictated otherwise, so we are still trying to do the best we can, finish out season 4 here, and then starting with the next season, we will talk about and work out something for the future of the show. Now, in the meantime, I kind of mentioned this at the top of the show, you can check out TWA Tech Radio, Today with a Techie, at twatech.org, which is always looking for good hosts and episodes. If you want to record an episode, get with Enigma over there. The contact information is on the site. About the black hat nature of the topic, be careful. There's nothing wrong with black hat. We've done black hat topics on BenRev Radio before. It's just that you have to be careful that you do it from an analytical standpoint. There's nothing wrong with studying these questionable topics. I mean, education, discussion, learning, that's what we're all about. That's what we stand for. But we don't want to encourage people, and we don't encourage people to break the law or do something that's stupid or illegal. Black hat topics in and of themselves are not illegal to discuss. You need to study them. You need to debate and educate people on those subject matters and how to defend against them, how they work. You know, it's interesting material. It doesn't make it okay or right to do those things, but it is okay to discuss. So we don't intentionally turn the blind eye towards black hat topics, and we have, you know, kind of walked that gray line, walked on that tightrope sometimes, but it's all about how you approach the topic that really matters. So if you think you can do that, then yeah, contact, go over there and check out TWA Tech Radio and see if you can do an episode of that show. And hey, it may take off and it may do really well. So I would suggest that as your next cause of action. And how do you feel? You feel like reading an email here so I can get a drink of, I think I'm starting to lose my voice here, a little Kool-Aid.
Here's Kool-Aid. All right, yeah, I'll jump in. So the next email we have is from Sergeant Redneck.
Yeah,
hey, yo. I've been listening to BinRev on and off for the past year or so, maybe even longer. I seem to lose all sense of time when I get older. Damn, all I know you mean. What? Anyways, I love the show. Keep up the great work. I was going back into the old episodes. I listened to episode 75, one of the telephonic craptaculars. I got to thinking, even though it is getting harder to do, if perhaps you could try to squeeze in another one for 200 or 225 or something. I just find them amusing because they really show the power of social engineering. When he says SE, but I'm assuming that's what he means. Not only that, but it's also cool to see that phone phreaking is still somewhat possible. I was born too late to get to mess with around with that shit when it was popular. Finally, bringing my rant to an end, I wonder what podcast, if any, Stank or whoever is doing the show this week listens to. P.S. Whoop, Purple, Sergeant Redneck.
Sergeant Redneck.
Okay. Let me just jump in there real fast with a few things that I can answer. as far as phone freaking being dead, it's really not dead. It's dormant. It's definitely changed shape, but there is a lot of the stuff that still works, a lot of the stuff that, well, that stopped working more or less, and a lot of the things that have just changed shape completely. I highly recommend reading Royal's article on redboxing in the now. That's pretty comprehensive. Black Ratchet had a talk at Hope 6. That covered a lot of the phone history and phone phreaking. And I think you'll find out that with the proliferation of voice over IP, that a lot of the stuff that used to not be possible anymore is possible once again. ProjectMF.com is something like Fiber Optic out of New York, where he tried to bring blue boxing back through Asterisk. And as far as podcasts, I don't get a chance to listen to as many as I'd like to anymore, but one that I do like, security related, is called Sploitcast. Harrison and the crew over there do a really good job, and I really like listening to that one. And Twisted Pair Radio is another one that I'm just constantly blown away with the quality of their sound and how much like a real, actual radio show that Al and company over there put on. So how about you, Stank?
Well, let's see. As far as podcasts, I listen to a lot of just general science shows. Actually, I mentioned one of them earlier, Nova Science Now. I've been listening to the podcast for that. That's probably my favorite. I also listen to Quirks and Quarks, which Teoxy, one of our IRC regulars, turned me on to. Quirks and Quarks is from the CBA, Canadian Broadcasting Association, I think their science show. And I do listen to Off the Hook on occasion. I subscribe to it. I don't listen to it regularly. I'm usually a month or two behind easily, and that's if I feel like listening to that subject matter, the political stuff. But I'm usually months behind on all of them, actually, and what happens is sometimes I'm doing research and looking stuff up, other times I'm coding, and if I'm coding, then, yeah, I'll start listening to stuff in bunches, so I'll listen to 3, 4, 5 episodes at a time. On the irregular list, I have Software Engineering Radio, Software Engineering Podcast, Off the Wall, Off the Hook, both, but those are definitely hit and miss. I think the 2600 feed downloads both for me, but I rarely listen Off the Wall, if ever. But I know it downloads on my podcast software. So, and you know what I also do is I'll read the description for each one of them, and if the topic doesn't interest me, then I just don't even bother listening to it. Or I'll listen to the introduction, the first couple of lines to see what the main topic is. And if it's something that I'm interested in, I'll keep listening. Otherwise, I will not. And also, somebody had turned me on to this podcast novel called Seventh Son. And I listened to the first chapter of that, and it sounded promising. But I was already behind when I first started getting into it. And they released chapters so freaking fast that I can't keep up. And I think there's like 70, 75 or more episodes queued up. You all right there? You getting mugged or what?
No, I'm here. I'm about to do. You want to hear an impression of a car starting? Listen to this. You hear that?
Wow, that was amazing.
I know. Thank you. I'm working on that.
That was wow. If I didn't know any better, I would think that was a real car starting.
You think so? But you'd be right.
Yeah, and you know what else? I gotta say, as long as we're pissing everybody off with this episode, I'm sorry. I've tried to listen to Twit and Dignation. I really did. I've subscribed to them, tried to download them, see what you know people liked about them, and they're just so irritatingly smug, know-it-all attitude. I mean, I admit I don't know jack shit, but when I do this show, but I don't know. I just unsubscribed from a long time ago. Plus, the other thing about them is that they're what I call the dime a dozen podcasts. The podcasts that do nothing but read /dot and dig and news and tech news stories and stuff to me. I know how to read. You know, I don't need somebody to read something to me and call it a show. I mean, they're not adding anything new or interesting to these topics. I'll just go to the sites and read them. You know, I kind of know how to read. I can get by anyway.
I feel good.
Yeah, it's like I'm not retarded. I don't need somebody to read to me. So there's 50 or more podcasts that I've tried over the years that are all the quote-unquote read-to-me format, and I hate all of them. I have no need for them. I just can't stand lack of original content. I don't know. I don't even know where to go from that.
I think the bare minimum requirement is you have to do more than Microsoft's text-to-speech that comes built into Windows XP.
Yeah. I mean, we have a series of shows on DDP Hack Radio. At noon, we have the mainstream tech radio, which is exactly that. It takes the headlines from different RSS feeds, and it does a text-to-speech and has the robot read them, so you get kind of a bulletin. It's really cool. It was more like just for the fun to see if we could do it. Nick84 wrote that, and it's really cool, and I had him put them all together into one bunch of short clips into one show, and it's really awesome. So the other thing, real briefly, and then we're going to go into our main topic, and we've only probably got about 20 minutes for the topic now, but the telephonic craptacular, which is what he was asking about, they're just really hard to do. That's the long and short of it. Any kind of clip show requires a lot of editing, a lot of saving, mixing stuff together, editing out a lot of doc droppage and numbers and stuff along the way. I enjoy doing them. They're fun, but they take too long, A. And B, we had that other show that we started called Freak Factor, and that was kind of going to take the place. All the content that we were going to do, all the telephonic goodness, if you will, was going to go to that show. Yes, it was pretty craptacular in and of itself, but it had some fun moments along the way. But the content was very redundant to the telephonic craptaculars of BinRev, so we kind of dropped it for that. Now, I know what you're asking. Where's Freak Factor? I haven't heard of this Freak Factor of which you speak. Well, if you want more information on Freak Factor and when Freak Factor is going to be back up and running, send an email to nottheory@bellsmind.net. Lots and lots of emails. Go to bellsmind.net and email him and let him know that he needs to get his ass in gear and relaunch him. And make sure you tell him that Stank sent you so that he knows that you know, we're looking for our Freak Factor to come back. Now, like I said, about 20 minutes or less. Can we squeeze in a main topic here? Are you still there? I think we lost Savant. So I am going to hang up the phone and hope that he calls back. And there he goes. So I'm going to hang up the phone and hope he calls back and stall as I introduce our main topic that we're about to get into. And that main topic is entry control systems, or specifically telephone entry control systems. And if that doesn't jump out at you as clearly defined, or you know what we're talking about, well, those are those systems that you'll find if you live in Florida or any state for that matter. A lot of condominium communities have them out in front of their condominiums where you go up. Well, that was redundant, wasn't it? Condominiums with condominium. If you go to an apartment complex or condominium complex where it's a gated community and you have that little thing with the touch tones there that you look up the person's name, or if you live there, you might have a code that you punch in that'll allow you to open the gate and get inside, and I hope that's Savant calling back in.
Yeah, we out-talked my battery there.
Okay, well, I just went ahead and told everybody about our main topic, the telephone entry control systems. I was giving some examples about you know, apartment complexes and gated communities will have them where you punch in the number and look up the name alphabetically, or again, if you live there, you might have a code or a card or something that'll get you in. But these systems that have the little keypad usually on them, or in, I think, in bigger cities, and maybe you can speak to this more than I can, in the bigger cities, New York, L.A., some of those cities, I guess they have those on the front door where you can buzz people in to let them in your secured building if you don't have an actual doorman out there.
Yep, they're popular here in San Diego, and I've also seen them all over the Bay Area as well.
Okay, so that's what we've talked about, what they are, so people should be able to at least visualize them now. So generally, you know, let's kind of ease our way into this. We got about 15 minutes to burn through this. I wish we'd left more time, but what exactly are these things? Let's start with the basics here. I mean, what hardware are we talking about? How do these things work?
All right, so traditionally, when you go up to these so-called gated communities, outside of the main gate, you'll often see, you know, like a turnabout or a center divide that will section the entry gate from the exit gate. And there will be what appears to be a really wide payphone, almost, set flush into the building. Sometimes it'll have a handset, sometimes it'll just be a speakerphone. Usually it'll have a metal plate with, a 9, 10, 12-button DTMF keypad. And then a little tiny LCD screen, typically, where you'll get to jog through a directory of sorts to find the tenant that you're looking for. And you dial in their extension, and it'll ring their cell phone or their house or somehow get them on the phone. And you basically say, hey, this is the FBI, let me in, or whatever, what have you. And typically they will press a button, more often than not, it's pound, and that will buzz you in. That will send a signal down that will activate a solenoid on the gate and get you access into the building.
Right. Now, before, let's stop for a second there, because there's some inconsistencies, there's some things that I've heard, anyway, that I've always kind of wondered about. I've been told, I have a friend who lives in a gated community, and she was told, that they require her to have a landline to use with the front gate. She's not a tech person. She didn't specifically say, well, can't I use my VoIP line? Can't I use my cell phone? They told her that it can't be a cell phone, that it has to be a landline. Now, I don't know if a VoIP line would work, or maybe even a cell phone would work. They just don't want her to. But that's what they told her. Now, do you know for a fact that it will allow you, or some of them anyway, will allow you to use any type of phone?
I know for certain that some will allow. Now, your mileage may vary depending on make and model, manufacturer, and what have you.
Right.
But case in point, I've got a buddy up in San Francisco who did not want, just absolutely hated the idea of getting a landline specifically for the purpose of allowing FedEx into his building when he ordered stuff off of Fleabay. So he called me, Josh, what are we going to do? You know, I need to set this up. You know, he doesn't know me as Savon. He knows me as Josh. And I said, well, so what's the scoop there? They won't let you use a cell phone? And his cell phone was in the area code of San Diego because that's where he came from. So I suggested, well, have you thought about getting a voice over IP directed or dial number, a DID?
Right.
And he's like, well, no, what's the deal with that? And I explained to him, you know, Vitality.net and Sixtel and some other providers will give you a local phone number. Now, it's my understanding, the way that they set up these entry systems is they're not allowed to dial long distance, which would make sense as to why they would need a POTS line. You know, it would be a generic way of saying, we're not going to pay long distance for your ass. And the one way to guarantee that is that you have a landline.
Right. Well,
but what we ended up doing was, on the Vitality.net subscriber page, you could set up a number that it would forward to. And he just forwarded it straight to his cell phone, and sure enough, when FedEx rolls around, they hit the directory, it rings in his pocket to his 619 number via his 415 DID, and he hits the pound button, Bob's your uncle, lets you in.
So I wonder if programmatically in the hardware you can, I hadn't thought about the long distance idea there. I wonder if you can programmatically restrict it to a certain area code.
Well, I'm wondering if, now I don't have specific numbers to back this up, but I'm wondering if the thing is that you can only use 7-digit dialing in most of these systems and not 10-digit dialing. So a 415 number, when dialed from a 415 extension, would in fact only be 7-digit dialing, so it wouldn't be an issue.
And I'm trying to think of any examples where it would be necessary to have the extra digits, or where somebody could have a valid reason to have a different area code. I mean, even if you're in a city that's, you know, like New York City, that's split amongst several different area codes, We're talking about one confined building. You're not going to have multiple area codes inside the same building. Not for your landlines, you're not.
Right. I mean, there might be the occasional random case where a complex spills over onto two sides of an area code, mm-hmm. but I would assume that they would just have to pick one or the other.
Right. Right, exactly.
Because we're not talking complex systems. I mean, they have the ability to be augmented by a PBX system that might be able to have some smarts on the back end, and right. that might be a way that you would work around that particular gotcha. Mm-hmm. But I would say, by and large, that they're pretty... I don't want to say dumb in terms of technology, but they're not very intelligent systems.
Well, these are basically just large printed PCB boards, right? These are big circuit boards that are hardwired to do certain things.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes, they are hardwired, in fact, over the... they've got, in some cases, actual ring and tip termination to the system themselves. Okay, my battery is on its way out. I'm turning my laptop back on to sort of provide some extra juice, but okay. I might lose you. But one thing that's really interesting that I found on a couple models of these telephonic entry systems is that since they are, in fact, connected to the public telephone system, in some cases, if you have access to the administrator panel, you can turn on these phones and make calls to the outside network. So if you've got some kung fu regarding these systems, like you download the PDF of the system off the support site, you could actually call people outside of the complex for free, conceivably.
So if you could somehow seize the trunk, that's probably the wrong terminology, but if you could somehow seize this thing and get a dial tone and dial out somehow, you know, I think it'd be interesting to see if I could use a tone dialer through that speaker somehow.
Now, given what we know about my friend's ability to unlock the gate from his cell phone and the way in-band signaling works, I'd be inclined to believe that the system would not be smart enough to know which side of the communication that tone came from. So it's conceivable to think that if you had your cell phone on you, if it had a pretty decent speakerphone, that you could hold it up to the speakerphone and start button mashing until you find the right combination. Because as far as I know, they don't have account lockouts like a normal password system would, where if you dial the incorrect password X number of times, it'll lock you out. Like, quite literally in this sense, it would prevent you from getting access to the phone or to the community. So if anybody out there has access to one of these systems, I know a couple people in the IRC channel said that they did, but weren't able to help me last night when I was talking to them, try it out and report back to your findings, because I'm inclined to believe that it's possible.
Yeah, I would think so, and I think that would make some good footage. That'd be a good little Hack TV segment there if you can film something like that.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, we've only got maybe 10 minutes of show left, so hopefully your battery will last a few more minutes.
Yeah, we're good to go. My laptop's on and providing juice over USB.
Okay. Well, some of the other things, if you can, you know, in the admin function of this, there's a lot of other interesting things out there. First of all, the funniest thing is, and I'll go ahead and pose this as a question to you. This is a setup question.
Okay.
What kind of protection do these things have to prevent you from getting to the administration panel?
Well, glad you asked. I thought you'd never get to it. Now, in the particular model that we're looking at, which is called by a company called Silent Night, KNIGHT, they had an option where, a lot like some of the similar Triton and Tranex ATMs that you may have heard so much about, if you hold down the star button and let it go and press 1 through 8, a one-digit number for the admin function code, you are presented with a password prompt for a six-digit number. And wouldn't you know it, the password is set by default to 123456.
Oh, I would have never guessed that.
I know. It's the same combination I have on my luggage.
Man, that is the same PIN that I have on my credit cards and my voicemail box.
Right?
Wow, what a small world.
Once you gain access to this administrative function, you can add users to the gated community. You can remove users from the gated community. You can redirect someone else's call to your own cell phone, which might be an interesting way to snoop on people.
Well, one of the funny things that I saw on there that I just can't for the life of me figure out, well, actually, there's two of them that I can't quite figure out. One of them is very low level, it's to turn the speaker on or off. Well, why or when would you ever want the speaker off? That defeats the point of the equipment. And B, for some reason, there is an option for to allow rotary dialing. By default, it's off. But what the fuck? Rotary dialing? Are you kidding me?
Right. What year is this?
How does that even... I mean, somebody in the apartment up there still has a rotary phone, and that's what that's for? I mean, wow.
What's most interesting, too, about this particular model that we're looking at by Silent Night is that if you turn on rotary dialing, you disable DTMF dialing. So,
yeah.
Effectively, this would only be useful in a community that only has rotary phones.
Right, not mix and match. I mean, you're not adding support for rotary phones. You're choosing one or the other.
And the gate, the console itself, it's not like you have an option to put on a rotary wheel in the front of the building to dial your way in. It's a DTMF touchpad on the front.
See, that would discourage people. You should have like a giant, like something you would see on fucking The Price is Right, a giant dial tone, and you have to
right.
spin the number to get into the building. I think people would
you
be like, you know what?
Hands in each hole.
I'd be like, you know what, dude, he's on the ninth floor, and I'm just too lazy to spin that fucking wheel right now, so...
Yeah,
I'm just
fuck
gonna...
it, he's not getting his package.
Yeah, God forbid somebody's up in room number 9999.
Can you imagine the pizza guy at that building? It's like, shit.
Dude, if you wanted to mess with him, that's the number you'd always spoof. Yeah, my address is 9999. Oh, yeah, evil.
Apartment 9172. Damn it. Get the stepladder out.
Well, and one of the other options on here that I think you said earlier is you can hook up a PBX to the system on the back end, and you can, through the menu, then dial out and access that PBX system through this. Now, I don't know why you would really... I guess you could set up some things to do that, but assuming you don't have control over the PBX itself, maybe if you had a bunch of buildings running off one PBX, it might be useful?
Right. Which, you know, in and of itself, adding that additional layer of complexity also introduces the fact that there might be some other hacks that you could do with the PBX system and perhaps even then gain access to the outward dial.
Yeah, and it's on here it says PBX access number, which is the one or two-digit number needed to access the PBX system. The system will dial the number programmed for PBX access. Now, if you can change that number to point to your own PBX, then you could totally own the box, big time.
Absolutely, and with Asterisk, it wouldn't be that hard to create some sort of pass-through that would then redial the correct system to get back into, you know, their internal PBX system, so you could effectively man in the middle their telephone system and their gated access community.
Yeah, and you know what, if you could somehow, as long as you recreated, if you really wanted to be sneaky, I guess, if you recreated or got the list of people and their information and copied it over, it would be seamless, and people, you could hijack it, and people might not even know the difference if you did it right and did it smoothly.
Absolutely. You could record every piece of communication that goes on through anywhere in the building. I could see how that might be advantageous if you were a private investigator or a jealous boyfriend concerned about what your lady is doing while you're gone at work. Mm. There's some implications in there.
Well, and plus you'd get a list of everybody's phone numbers, whatever
uh-huh.
it's dialing to get to them, so you could get a list of people, whether they're listed, unlisted, private, cell phones, whatever.
Right.
So that's kind of dangerous.
A fun Google hack that you can use to find more of these systems that I checked out last night was telephone entry system support, and then you can just throw PDF in there and then you just harvest those results, and you'll have tons of manuals on how to actually gain access to most of these systems.
Yeah, and then, you know, and kind of using Google hacking techniques, this is kind of one of those good ones that's a borderline crossing into Google mining, and it always bugs me when people don't know the difference, but you then gather all those books together, all those PDFs that you can get, and kind of parse through them all quickly and make a spreadsheet that says, here's the model number, the manufacturer, here's the default pin. Actually mine that data for some useful information and come up with a spreadsheet that, you know, put it in the forums or have it published in a zine somewhere or something like that. That's cool, useful information.
Absolutely. Especially, I mean, we're starting to see these past couple of years a proliferation, of people finding this useful information about hardware that otherwise wouldn't be considered all that interesting, that, you know, ultimately led to people mining the ATM machines that I would add also have the same default passwords as the telephone access system. Right. You know, the Uber lead 23456. I wouldn't be surprised if that was an industry standard amongst entry systems either.
Right. Well, what other kind of cool stuff did you see on here? What else kind of jumps out at you?
Well, some of these systems actually have dial-up modems built into them. And the sites that manufacture these things also offer software that you can use, you can hook up your computer to, but you don't need to be on site. If you were able to either have a friend inside the complex and you could see what number comes up when they called you to let somebody in, or if you were able to ascertain this through other means, you could, in theory, remotely hack in and dial up, you know, the old school way if people are still using modems, and would be able to gain the same information. Of course, the ones that I've seen, I've only seen a couple, they use proprietary dial-up software, so you wouldn't just be able to necessarily load up Minicom or Hyperterminal and connect, but if you did your homework and found out who manufactured it, the support site, you'd be able to download the software to do it from anywhere.
You know, and I was kind of distracted here. I'm looking at this 4.2.6, and this particular model here is kind of interesting. It's operating the telephone. You can make the control panel act as a normal phone, press star 5, then put in the access code, whatever it is, hopefully it's not 123456, enter the phone number you wish to call, and press star. And you can actually, that's a cool visual to me. How cool would that be, and how, I mean, if you were in a car with some people and you did that, they would look at you like you were just the ghost in the machine if you were able to pull up to one of these things and make an out dial to their cell phone in the back seat or something.
It'd be great if you ordered pizza to the console in the front of the building.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Address? Yeah, I'm at apartment 0123 Evergreen Terrace.
Yeah, just pull
apartment
up to the gate.
Yeah, just deliver to the gate. I'll be out there.
Yeah, I'm in a red sedan.
Yeah, I got my blinkers on.
License plate number.
Or if you were to somehow go even further and hook up like a coupler to the speakerphone and then dial in through the modem itself over, you know, the other line or something, I don't know.
Yeah,
there's a lot of unique possibilities, and I think that this has been a topic that's probably mostly overlooked by most people.
Yeah, see, this kind of stuff is just fun, hardcore, brute force kind of hacking, go up and just punch numbers and see what you can come up with. You know, that's fun, and that's one way to do it, but go out there and do a little Google mining, Google searching, and come up with some interesting stuff. Now, one other thing that catches my ear that's worth throwing out, and we're running out of time here, is there is an error message that will come up. It looks like it's saying, and I guess this is obviously the default, 4 consecutive invalid access or user codes, and it will pop up with a code tamper message. And I don't know if that'll lock the box out temporarily or permanently, so keep that in mind if you're going to mess around too much. It looks like it will do that.
That's interesting. I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, it's interesting. System can have up to 1,000 users. Now, a lot of this stuff is dependent on which model, et cetera, so we probably shouldn't focus too much. Is there anything else on here before? I think we're going to have to wrap up the show here. Is there anything else that we want to mention
One last thing is that most of these models have an option for keyless entry of the tenants that actually use those systems. They have a four-digit code or a PIN number that you can put in that will allow you to gain access to the community without actually having to call anybody. And in this particular model, and probably others like it, there's a default PIN of 1111. So if you just button mash 1 a couple times, you'll probably get right into the gate.
Because everything, and I mean everything, is always on default.
It's always on default.
All right. Well, and you know what else? Kind of because we were chatting about this earlier, it's worth mentioning that these systems are like a big, secure, strong box. So as far as physical attacks or physical brute forcing, or if you think you're going to cut any wires or anything like that, these things are locked down pretty hard. I mean, there's got to be a wire coming in and out of it. Some wires coming in and out of these things, obviously. But generally, they're pretty secured. Maybe on some of the real old models that are half-assed stuck to a wall in an old apartment building, they might come off easily, or you might be able to see the wires or access the motherboard or the circuit board itself. But generally speaking, the more modern ones, the newer ones, are locked down pretty tight. So
you know what? I was just thinking that'd be pretty lead to use something like these iWar and just park outside of a building late at night with your modem speaker coupled out to a remote headphone or something, and like the Saint or something, just have it dial through all possible combinations of remote entry until you gained access, like an auto safe cracker.
Well, and imagine, if you will, how fucking cool would this be that you did that, and then you pulled off to go get some pizza or something, and you pass that cop car that you saw earlier, and they go swatting a fucking entry system that was dialing 911. Dude, how fucking...
Yeah.
That would not be cool, but it would be funny.
I mean, it would be funny. We're not encouraging you to do so, but if you see pictures.
Abusing 911 is definitely not cool. However, it's a funny idea to talk about, not to actually do.
Yeah, definitely. Talk about it. Don't do it.
Oh, shit. That would be funny, though. All right. Well, let's close out the show this week. Episode 197 is in the books. Let's see, closing, let's do some shouts here. I'll give shouts to the BR813 meeting, the Tampa BenRev meeting. Shouts to everybody out there. Again, shouts to Alonka for being on Nova. Very cool episode. My buddy, I've been emailing and chatting with her lately back and forth. She's unfortunately not going to make it to DEF CON. She actually has a commitment to, she's actually presenting at a different conference somewhere, so she's not going to make it, so that's too bad. And I know you'll back me up on this one, to Black Ratchet and to DeBeeve for newly published book, Asterisk Hacks by Syngris Publishing. Go buy it. It's on store shelves right now. Asterisk Hacks by Syngris Publishing. Black Ratchet, congratulations on that. That is insanely cool, and boy, what a lot of hard work.
Seriously, buddy, good job on that one, both of you. I was also going to give shouts to Beeve and also the Telefreak crew for the work that they did on, all the work that they do on the Telefreak DBS, the phone system, and on iWar, and the San Diego Police Department for being pretty cool about my cat accidentally dialing 911 three times in a row.
Shouts to the cat, the six-fingered cat.
Shouts to the cat. Shouts to Philip.
Philip, the six-fingered cat. Oh, and I feel bad. I meant to contact these guys before it happened, but shouts to the Linux Link Tech Show, to everybody over at TLLTS, the Linux Link Tech Show, 200 episodes. They beat us to 200 episodes. Congratulations, guys. Great work over the years. 200 episodes of a fantastic show, so big shouts out to them. You can check them out on ddphackradio.org. Streaming live every week. Again, that's probably them that left the mic on before, but get back to me. Let me know, guys, if that was one of you. I'm curious. A reminder, DEF CON meetup. We talked about it earlier. Registration desk at the Riviera, 3:30 p.m. We're going to start walking to the mall, 3:45, so get there right at 3:30 to 3:45 range. If you miss the group, you can meet us up at the mall. We'll be up there for a couple hours if you know where it's at and you can't get away at 3:30 or you want to watch the rest of the talk you're in and come up at 4 or whatever, we'll be up there, so you're welcome to obviously join, but if you want to walk up there with the group, that's when we're going to be leaving, and get back at 6, we'll have the t-shirts, presentation, etc., etc. Hosting for Binary Revolution Radio and all of our affiliated DDP projects is provided by Caro.net. Check them out for your hosting needs. Site of the week this week, I have Tiny URL for you. It is tinyurl 7V, as in Victor, Q as in Quince, I don't know.
Quapar.
whatever the hell that Klingon word was. 7V. What the hell, you got phlegm or something?
I'm in my car, and I don't know what the fuck just happened.
7VQDL, as in download, VQDL, 7VQDL. Then that is a tiny URL that goes to Nova Science Now, which, oops, I accidentally copied over in my show notes wrong, but that'll take you to pbs.org, /blah blah blah, Science Now page. So check that out. And by the way, we're never going to goat see you with a tiny URL on this show, so you're safe with that. However, if you're ever in doubt, don't forget TinyURL has a preview. I think it's preview.tinyurl.com, and then the actual code should show you what it is before you go there. So very useful. I use that a lot. Email feedback of any kind, radio@benrev.com. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of it this episode. Our closing music this week is Chromonicon. Subscription Box is the name of the track. I don't think I've used this before. Once again, this was laying on my hard drive, so if I've reused it, it's worth it. It's a good track. And that is it. Samant, thank you, my friend, for being on the show, and my apologies
thank
for
you.
Rushing us through this. I wish we, when we do it every 3 weeks, we have so much email to go through that we don't give as much time to the main topic as we want to, but I think we got through it pretty well. I think it was a good show this week. And we will see everybody else. It will probably be after DEF CON in a couple weeks, but it will be same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Quakar!